Welcome to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. I'm Sarah of the blog Sarah's Bookshelves. Each week, I'm talking with one bookish guest about two old books they love, two new books they love, one book they don't love, and one new release they're excited about. We're going to get real and sometimes a little bit snarky about all things books. This is a brand new podcast, so if you like it, I'd really love your support. Please spread the word to your reader friends, subscribe to the show, and rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts. Rating, reviewing, and subscribing really helps new listeners find us. All right, let's get rolling. This week, Tina from the blog and Instagram account, TBR Etc., is joining me from Chicago. And I first found Tina on Bookstagram. And for those of you that have not really experienced the Bookstagram world yet, it's basically Instagram for book people, and it does have its very own hashtag. And Tina has a massive following over on Bookstagram. And I think actually she was one of the first bloggers that I discovered on Instagram first, and then I started reading her blog after I discovered her on Instagram. But she reads a lot of the same kind of books as I do, maybe a few more mysteries and thrillers, but we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. And the most recent thing she might be most well known for is a really cute engagement picture she took with her fiance that was reposted by a book of the month. Welcome, Tina.
Hey, thank you so much. What an introduction.
Well, we're so glad to have you here. Tell me the story behind the engagement picture.
Of course. So for those that don't know, we were posted on a couple of accounts, Book of the Month, St. Martin's Press. And basically, in the photo, it's me and my now husband. And I don't know, I had an idea. I wanted some props in our photo. And so I grabbed The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid, and then The Wife Between Us by Greer Hendricks and Sarah Pekkanen. And I liked both of these. I knew I wanted to have a photo with an open book and kind of doing something cute with it. But then I thought, okay, these two books I loved, and how perfect husband and wife is in the title. So I kind of blocked out the rest of the words. And then our photographer was really cute with it. He loved it. And yeah, it turned out really nice.
It was adorable.
Thank you. I posted it on my own account, and then the book of the month and the publisher contacted me, asked if they could repost it. The author asked if she could post it.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Which author?
Ooh, you're going to put me on the spot now. I can't remember if it was one of the authors from The Wife Between Us.
I was going to say, I don't think it was Taylor Jenkins Reid, because I follow her and I would have seen that.
No, it was one of, I don't remember which one. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
It was cool. It was
That's
so
not
nice.
The point.
Right. No, but it was nice. It was nerve-wracking, honestly. I love, you know, of course, I'm happy to share. Like, my favorite thing is like, oh yeah, talk about these books. These books are awesome. But then when your own photo, like, this is our engagement picture. And I got
right.
So nervous because both of these are massive accounts. And I was immediately
huge.
Like, right. I'm like, oh God, don't look at the comment section.
Did you get inundated with people reaching back out to you?
Not to me. No, not really. But I, of course, had to be nosy in the comment section. I was like in there liking comments, and they were all overwhelmingly positive. I was shocked.
That can be scary.
Yeah, that I was excited, you know, and I'm white. My husband's black. And
right.
A piece of me was like, okay, please, Lord, help me. You know, don't let anyone come for us. Like, I don't know.
Right.
I'm just nervous.
Well, you hope in this day and age that is going to happen less.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I was so happy. Like, people were super sweet. One person wrote, call the police. His eyes are open. he's kind of like looking at me for guidance. So it just really made me laugh. It was super sweet.
Oh,
yeah,
that's funny.
It was a fun moment.
And is your husband a reader too?
He is, yes.
Oh, that's great.
So there are some books I'm like, oh my God, you have to read this. Our last one that I made him read. Well, actually, no, we were both ended up reading it around the same time, which is weird. It's called Kindred by Octavia Butler.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that one.
Yeah, I was listening to it. He actually got it on audio too. And we're like, oh, I just read this book. Wait, you read it too. So yeah, it's fun to have to be mutual readers.
I don't have that in my marriage.
No.
My husband does not read very much. And when he does read, it is the very complimentary combination of finance books and pro wrestling memoirs.
Perfect. I mean, those go along well, right?
But don't they? Amazon's algorithm is literally exploding. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Bookstagram, since we got off on that foot. You are very, very active. You're more active than I am. So just tell me your thoughts on Bookstagram. How did you get involved? What do you love about it? Is there anything about it you don't like?
Sure. It's one of those things I really wish that I could remember how I found it. I remember why I started the blog. I started the blog and the Instagram account at the exact same time. I got a doctorate in higher education and, you know, just finished my dissertation, defended it, whatever. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. I'm going to have all this extra time. And immediately, literally like 2 weeks later, started this blog. I thought, okay, now I had been reading all over. I'd still kept reading, but now I knew I'd have more time to read. And I guess I just wanted to be able to keep track and find a way. I was terrible at taking photos. I had no idea, as I think many people are.
Right.
In the beginning, I don't know. I'm so glad I found it, though. I just kind of started following more accounts and then kind of figured out my own path. I love connecting to other readers. Like, you and I have been, I think, chatting with each other. Like, it's so funny. I was telling my husband, I was like, oh, yeah, I know her, though. But I don't, like, really know her. But no, I do.
Oh, my husband thinks this whole thing is so weird. Do you know or know of Tara from the blog Running and Reading?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So she came through my town last year to run a half marathon. So I went and met her for coffee. And my husband was like, do you know this person? Like, right. You met her on the internet? He was so confused.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's not weird. We've been talking for years. It's fine.
It's totally fine. Yeah, we're fine. And no, and that's something I would do too. And that thing, I think, is that we genuinely have been able to make connections with people that are big readers, whether yes. our tastes align or not. I'm obsessed with new releases. Like, that's my thing, is right. like the new and shiny. And so it's so fun when you're reading this new book and in wanting to have somebody like, okay, I need to know what you thought about
X. I need to have someone else to talk about it with. And you might be reading it early before it came out. So probably people
exactly.
in your real life, you cannot talk about it with.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's probably my favorite part, is just talking with other people about it. It's so funny. I just came back from Newport, Rhode Island, and I was like, oh, this picture.
Yes.
It's going to be great. It was a picture of a new book. It's the newest by the author from Z, Zelda. It's called A Well-Behaved Woman.
Yep. I remember that picture. It's beautiful.
Thank you. I loved it. I was like, Newport's so gorgeous. I'm going to set this little thing up. I brought the book with me.
And a lot of that book, for the listeners out there, that the book A Well-Behaved Woman is about Alva Vanderbilt, whose family built one of the quote-unquote cottages in Newport, which actually should be called a castle, not a cottage.
Exactly.
Where you took the picture of the book is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Complimentary to the setting
yeah,
of the book.
It made sense, right? It was about this family that had, you know, been very influential in this area. And so I was like, oh, this photo is going to do so well. Nobody saw it.
Well, that's because Instagram doesn't let anybody see your pictures.
Yeah.
That might be one thing I don't like about it.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not like, oh, I need a million likes. I need this. I need that. For me, a lot of times it is, of course, about the photo, but it's also about the caption. Like, what
Absolutely.
Are we talking about today? Like, what are you reading? What's going on?
And for the listeners, I just started focusing on my own Instagram account probably this year. I mean, I rarely posted on it before then. It took so much time to take pictures. You have to get the lighting mm-hmm. right. And I didn't do it. But I have focused more on it this year. But I even compared to you, I post like a fraction of what you do. However, I did learn that Instagram redid their algorithm. They don't show you in your feed people that you follow in the order that they post things. And you don't see everyone you follow's pictures necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to see a certain person's pictures every time they come up, comment and like on their post, and you will then see everything they post.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, so I like and comment on most things you post. So now I see most everything
you do.
Post. All right, enough about Bookstagram. Let's talk about our reading taste a little bit, because you and I definitely overlap, but there's definitely some areas that we found that we might not overlap, but I think we need to dig into this a little more. So I just want to read to everybody a comment that Tina left on my blog.
Perfect.
Here's Tina's comment, word for word. Just finished November Road, .. Loved it. Ha ha ha. Saw your comment about Since We Fell by Dennis Lehane. Hated that one. Are we book opposites after all? Are we?
Going off of those two books, yes.
Yes, those two books, we are opposites. But here's my observation about this. Those are both sort of mystery thrillers.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're just mystery thriller opposites.
That very well could be.
Okay, tell me what you loved about November Road.
I thought it was unexpected. It's not, because it was a mystery. It was also kind of crime fiction. So November Road's about two people that are essentially running away from their lives for various reasons. The man is this mobster who used to be basically the right-hand man of the main guy.
The mobster that has been rumored to be somewhat involved in JFK's assassination, like in real life. Also in the book, but also in real life.
Oh, in real life.
Carlos Marcello, that's it.
Oh, that's a real person.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, you didn't know that?
No, I had no idea.
And you still loved the book. So, like, does that make you love it even more?
A little bit, but I think that might be why, because I actually just now, when I was about to describe the book, I forgot the JFK tie-in.
Right. Well, that's why I read the book. And I think maybe for me, I was like, well, the JFK thing really doesn't play that big of a part in this book at
Mm-mm,
all.
Not at
and
all.
And that's why I read the book.
Yeah. Okay. So I loved the rest of it.
So you liked the story for what it was other beyond the JFK angle.
Exactly. Yeah, it could have been anything. It could have been any inciting incident. I thought it was cool, and it kind of, I won't lie, it made me read it. Sometimes I am bothered by that, though, when there is this big thing that's used as a hook to get readers, but then really doesn't play a huge role.
Sure.
But in this case, it didn't bug me.
The marketing department came in and pulled that out as how they were going to sell the book.
Right.
All right, so Since We Fell, what did you not like about that one?
Since We Fell. It felt like a mashup. So basically, there's this journalist who had a quote-unquote on-air mental breakdown, you know, lives as a shut-in. She meets this guy. The book felt like it was slapped together in two parts, and it really, really felt like the author was writing it with a video or putting it as a movie in mind. Like, it kind of just, in the end, was all action. It was unbelievable to me. I did not like any of the characters. I just didn't think there was much depth to it.
I totally agree about it feeling like two different books almost.
Yes.
And I did like part one better.
Same here. By part two, I was like, what is happening?
I agree with what you said. And that surely, like, I noticed it when I was reading, but it also just didn't bother me that much. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if I dislike characters. That never bothers me.
Yes.
But I know that that's an issue for a lot of people.
Yeah. No, this book, though, people really liked it. So I think I am in the minority on it. But for whatever reason, it just grated on me. It was just not maybe the right book at the right time. I also listened to it on audio, which I'm not sure if that...
Oh, yeah. That makes a big difference for me. We did both love From the Corner of the Oval.
Yes.
Yes, which is a really fun memoir. It, I guess, marketed as a political memoir from the Obama administration, but I didn't really feel like that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting, and it was definitely a part of her story. And it was just set in this amazing, she just so happened to have this amazing job.
Amazing access and great anecdotes. It was literally like sitting down with your best friend who happens to have this crazy job over a glass of wine and hearing the best little tidbit stories, the ones you'd want to hear.
Exactly. Yep. Love that one, though.
Obama and people surrounding him and about just how presidential life works and all that stuff. I didn't think it was super political.
It wasn't. I didn't catch that by the very, very end, a little bit.
You can tell she loves Obama.
Exactly. He's a man she admires. It was very interesting to see the interactions between herself and the staffers, as well as the president and the Secret Service. It was just really cool. But at the end of it, she was just this young 20-something person that found her, you know, going through all of the similar things I think that many of us went through after college. Like, okay, what am I going to do with my job? Where am I going to be?
And the possible sociopathic boyfriend.
Right. That I really resonated with. I was like, I feel you, girl. I'm like, leave him alone. It's the worst.
I know. We've all had them. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, especially at that time of your life.
For sure.
All right, let's talk about your recommendations. So Tina is going to share two old books she loves, meaning backlist, two new books she loves, one book she does not love, and one new release that she's excited about. So let's start with one of your old loves.
Sure. So the first one I picked was The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. Have you read it?
I have, a very long time ago.
For me, it was a very long time ago, too. And honestly, it sticks out with me. I am not one for World War II fiction. I know so many people love it, and it's not one that I dislike. It's just I started to try and read The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah. I started to try and read a couple of these that I couldn't get into them.
I'm with you on that. That's another area where we agree. Yes, I used to love them, and I think I'm sort of burnt out on World War II fiction at this point.
I think it's easy to get to that point. There's so many. But yeah, I think The Book Thief was an earlier one, maybe comparatively. The thing that sticks out for me was I love that Death is a narrator as a part of the book. He's a narrator in it. Kind of, I think Death is the person that's telling the story. It's about this young girl, basically. She's a little bit of a book thief. Yes, the title was very appropriate, but essentially it's this working class German family who they're during the age of World War II, and they are keeping a Jewish man in their basement, and what that meant and the struggle that they had to kind of deal with. They didn't necessarily agree with Hitler and his regime, but they also felt like for their own livelihood, there were certain things that they had to turn away from. So I just thought it was really good. It was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It just moved me. It was so wonderful.
And this is a YA book.
Yeah.
I read it and I don't love YA, and I
me either
did not like The Book Thief.
You did not like it. Okay.
I know I'm in the minority. I did not like Death as the narrator.
Got it. Okay. So there you go. And again, I think it's one of those things that could work, could not for me. I love that type of like omniscient third party, whatever narrator. I love that. But I know some people
totally
maybe don't. That's funny that it's YA and World War II, because those are two things that I tend to not gravitate toward.
Right. And that may not go together naturally.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's why I did like it. But
I did not feel like it read like a YA. It was one of those YA books that can appeal to adults and did appeal to tons of adults.
Definitely.
So that's The Book Thief by Marcus Susak. And let's hear about your second one.
So my second one is a book by Matt Haig called The Humans. Have you heard of this one?
I have not. I have heard of Matt Haig, but I have not heard of The Humans. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so Matt Haig, he came out with a book this year that I'm blanking on the name of.
I think I remember that coming out, and I'm blanking on the name too.
The Time Something or Another. Clearly, I'm really great at remembering titles and authors' names.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Thank you. For The Humans, this was the first Matt Haig book that I ever read, and it sounds banana pants. It sounds like, what are you talking about? But basically, this alien essentially visits Earth, and he's inhabiting the body of this professor. He's like a mathematician, and basically, he inhabits this mathematician's body because this mathematician was about to break this code, essentially, that would somehow alter something that this alien planet didn't want the humans to have. And so he essentially comes to this man's house and inhabits his life and makes all of these observations about like wearing pants and just being, you know, having a dog. A dog plays a huge role in this book. It was so sweet. And at first he was like, oh my gosh, you can see the alien was like, these humans are so not sophisticated, and wow, you have to eat your food.
It doesn't just get in you by osmosis.
Exactly, right. You have to do all of these things to like maintain your human body. But he also ends up finding out the really, really sweet parts of being a human that make us whole. And this mathematician that he inhabited had a wife and son. And so toward the end, he comes up with all of these, he calls it advice for being human. Oh, it was so heartwarming and sweet. It sounds like it wouldn't go together, but it was a sweet book. And this one I did listen to on audio as well, and it worked.
Well, I'm glad that you brought a heartwarming book here, because I rarely read those. But I get asked for them all the time.
Well, here's the thing, though. A couple of people get murdered, but like they deserve, you know what I mean? Like he had to do it.
The right people get murdered. So it's fine.
Right, right. Viewpoint of the alien planet. Yes, he had kind of kill a few people, but not in a terrible way.
In a nice way.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was The Humans by Matt Haig, and I looked up his most recent book, and it's called How to Stop Time.
That is exactly it. Yes, it was. I can picture the cover, which is so typical of me. I can picture the book. I cannot remember titles very well.
I'm the same way. Very visual. All right, so let's talk about your first of your two new books you loved.
All right. So one of the books I picked for this is called Sunburn by Laura Lippman. I think it's a crime novel, but essentially it is a thriller, but more of the from the crime viewpoint. And it is got a gorgeous cover. That's initially what drew me to it, because I'm not familiar with the author, but it's basically psychological suspense. And it's two people that, again, meet each other. Both are not exactly who they seem to be. They're kind of playing each other, but you as the reader are never really sure who's in charge, and you're kind of rooting for her, but she's also kind of terrible. So you're really not sure whose side you're supposed to be on. And then there is an accident, and then you're kind of left figuring out what took place. And it kind of has a criteria that I tend to like: well-developed characters and only a couple of them. I don't do well if there's 17 characters. I can't keep up. I don't care. But these had two very devious characters, and neither were people that I particularly liked, but I also found myself interested in what they were doing and excited to see how it would end up. Did you read this one?
I was just going to say, so this is a thriller that we both liked. Hooray.
Oh, good.
Yes, I read this one. I, too, had never read Laura Lippman before. I thought it was a quieter thriller.
Yeah.
It's not action-packed. It's very psychological. The suspense comes from just you don't know who to trust. And the whole way through the book, you don't know who to trust. And I thought it was very dark and noir, kind of. And I loved it. I put it on my summer reading guide this past summer. And I will read something else of hers. I don't know what. But she does have a really extensive backlist.
Something else. Not sure which one. And yeah, that's the thing. I love when that happens, when you find a new author and you're like, wait a minute, there's so many more. I was going to say, although I never go back and read the backlist because I just can't stay away from new releases.
I know. I've only done it a few times, but for mysteries and thrillers, I'm so nitpicky about them that if I do find one author that wrote a mystery or thriller that works for me, I might actually read a backlist from them.
Yeah. Have you read Lisa Jewell?
No, but I've heard of her.
She's wonderful. She's an author that, similarly, I don't know if I'm picky, but I am kind of critical. I've read so much in that genre that I'm like, okay, I can tell I'm not going to like this, whatever.
And there's so much out there in this genre. So much mediocre in this genre.
Right.
Or they're just getting more and more outlandish because they're so plot driven and it's driven by the twist and the surprise. And there's really not a lot of ways left to surprise the reader at this point.
I think that's the thing. Right. And that's what I like about this author, Lisa Jewell, is that each book she has that I've read of her so far is different, a little bit different. It's not the same formula over and over. Okay, it was the husband. Great, let's move on. It's very twisty. So anyway.
I might try her. All right. So that's Sunburn by Laura Lippman. And it is on my 2018 summer reading guide. But I will link to all these books in the show notes. So don't worry, you will be able to find them. All right. What's your second new book you've loved?
All right. So the second new book that I love this year is called The Hunger, and it's by Alma Katsu.
I have not heard of this one. I'm excited to hear about it.
This one is awesome. It is, I would call it horror. It's got a little bit of a supernatural element to it, but it's also a little bit historical. It is historical fiction. So basically what it is, any of y'all are familiar with the Oregon Trail. It's a real thing that happened. It's not just a computer game. And
we just dated ourselves, right?
I know.
People that played the Oregon Trail in school.
You have to be 30 and above, I think, to get that.
Pushing 40 in my case.
Yeah, there you
Actually,
go.
Actually, I am 40. I'm not pushing
you
40.
Are 40.
I am
okay.
40. Yes, as of this year.
So The Hunger by Alma Katsu, it's about this Donner Party. It's just this group of early Americans who were setting out to go to California, and they took everything they had, loaded up the wagons, took their animals, and went west looking for gold and everything else. But along the way, and this is a real thing, it's one of those books that I could not wait till the end to read and see who actually lived, what happened to these real people. But essentially, one person in the party, something happens to him, he gets super sick and like in a super strange way. And slowly, bad thing after bad thing after bad thing keeps happening to members of this party. But there are, I think, two or three main characters that kind of drive the narrative. I love the character of Tamsin. She was the wife of one of the most influential men in this party. But you can just tell Tamsin Donner is her name. And she was just grinning and bearing it. She was doing what she had to do, but still had her own sense of agency. And therefore, everyone kind of thought she was a witch. And
because, of course, right? You have agency and you are a witch.
Exactly. Clearly, you must. Yeah, something must be wrong with you because you're not just submissive to the end. But yeah, it was a really cool book. Very dark, scary.
Wait, is it fiction or nonfiction?
It is fiction.
But based on real events.
Exactly. The characters existed. Yeah.
Okay. I love books like that.
Yeah, me too. It was really cool. And toward the end, you figure out, okay, this was probably not real, most likely. But really cool story. And yeah, it's dark, but not, it's pretty dark. I also have a high tolerance for gruesome and scary. So it's hard for me to be a good judge of that. But I thought this was really, really well done.
Awesome. So that's The Hunger by Alma Katsu. Let's go on to the dark side now.
Okay.
What did you not like?
All right. So the book that I picked that I did not like is The Girls by Emma Klein.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar?
I read it. Okay. I'm going to let you say your piece first.
Uh-huh. Okay. So we already know how this ends. I really hated it. So The Girls is this book that essentially was marketed. One of the hooks, if you will, was that the girls were a part of the Manson family. And so we all are likely familiar with what happened during the 60s with the Mansons. It was murder. It was a cult, essentially. He was a cult leader. And this main character, it flashes forward between her present day life and back in the 60s when she met these two girls that were a part of this cult. And essentially, she becomes obsessed with the girls, hence the title of the book. And for me, nothing happened. She was obsessed with these girls. They were long haired. They were free spirits. And now in her present day, literally, she's doing nothing. I don't mind sharing books that I dislike. I try to be very specific as to what didn't work for me because I understand that obviously a lot of work went into this. I just don't think this type of genre is mine.
Right.
I thought it was going to be more of a psychological thriller, crime, noir book, and it's definitely not that.
I totally agree with you. I liked it. I didn't love it like I thought I would, but it was completely not what I expected because of everything you just said. I thought it was going to be fast-paced. They didn't deal with the big Sharon Tate murder until the very end of the book, and that's not what the book is about.
No, not at all. The best part about it, though, is the cover. It's got a beautiful cover.
It does have a beautiful cover. I thought her writing was really beautiful, and that's one of the reasons I did like it. But to me, it was very quiet. You're right, not much happened. It was more of a coming-of-age story about how a relatively normal girl could get wrapped up in a cult like this.
Yeah, he nailed it. Yeah, I think that's true. And I would not have read it if that was the hook or the synopsis that they offered. And that's not the author's fault. Obviously,
no.
That's publishing, it's marketing, and it worked. I saw this book everywhere. I think it came out, I think it was 2016, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, but it just
plodded along.
It did. It plodded along, and I had to finish it, though, because I just kept hoping. I was like, all right, here it comes. Something's going to happen, and it did not.
So that was The Girls by Emma Klein, and I love talking about books that everyone in the world loved except for you, so that I'm glad you shared that one.
Yes, good.
All right, so let's talk about a new release that you're excited about.
There's a couple. You know, there are quite a few. I was looking toward 2019 since we're for the end of the year, but the one that I just recently learned about, I think it's just called Parkland, and it's by Dave Cullen.
Oh, is he the guy that wrote Columbine?
Exactly. Okay. Yes. It's nonfiction, but he did an incredible amount of research. He presented the story of Columbine with such, not story, this real thing that happened with such respect. I thought he did such a good job and really took a lot of painstaking research to make sure the story and the narrative I thought was accurate. So it was one of the best nonfiction books I read. Parkland, as you can imagine, it's going to be coming out around the first anniversary of the events of the shooting at Parkland. And here he's really talking about the kids that became activists. There was this big movement that came out from the Parkland shooting, Never Again. There were marches, and it's these young high schoolers that are at the forefront of it. And I think it's going to be wonderful. I was reading a few articles about the book itself, and like Columbine came out a long time ago. And so he's not an author that always is jumping on the latest thing that came out. Oh, I need to talk about this for.
He waits for the story that's going to fit him.
He waits for the story, but he also does his research and really, exactly, like you said, it's the story he wants to tell. And
he seems to be gravitating towards these mass shooting type stories.
Yeah, and certainly there's parallels, I think, to both shootings and that happened. I like that this one, it looks like it's going to take a closer look at the kids that are still here and that are now activists and what they're doing and how they're affected. So I'm really excited about that. I think that one, I know it comes out in 2019. I think it's in February.
February 12th.
Perfect.
This was not on my radar, but I do want to read Columbine. I listened to A Mother's Reckoning, which is the memoir of Dylan Klebold's mother. And he was one of the Columbine shooters. And I went into it a little bit hesitant because I'm like, is this, she's just going to make excuses for everything her son did? But it was not like that at all. And it was really moving and really sad. And then made me want to go back and read Columbine, which I haven't done yet, but I'll probably listen to it on audio. So I'm glad to get this one on my radar. I might have to go request this.
Yeah, do it now, right? So we can be in the first, in the front of the line at the library. I have not read A Mother's Reckoning either. I got to say, I don't know if I finished Columbine back in the day because I remember.
Is it long?
It's long.
I have a picture of it in my head as being this doorstop.
Probably about 400 pages. Yeah. So it's not terrible.
That's fine for me.
But those are the things I want to be reading, things like that. I don't want to just, oh, you know, fiction, live in this fantasy world. I definitely love to temper my reading with nonfiction. I'm excited about this one. I think it's important. I think I'd like to, I want to know more.
So that's Parkland by Dave Cullen, and it's coming out February 12th, 2019. Okay. We are now going to play Rate It.
Okay.
Let me tell you what the deal is.
All right.
So this is how I end every episode. And it's a little bit of a lightning round game where I will throw out five bookish things to you. And it's not going to be a specific book, or it could be anything remotely related to books.
Okay.
And you rate it either 1 or 5 stars, just like you would rate a book.
Okay. And nothing in between.
No. You cannot rate it 2, 3, or 4 stars.
Okay.
This is a love-hate kind of thing.
Okay.
All right. Number one. Posting books on Instagram that you haven't read.
5. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as it's clearly stated that you haven't read it.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's wrong with that? I like to see what other people have thought about it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And plus, geez, I wouldn't be able to post every day if I had to have read all of the books.
No. Well, I've heard some grumbling lately from various sources of, like, some people get annoyed about it. So that's why I put it in there.
Gotcha.
Chris Jensen from the Front Porch Podcast is who I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Instagram replacing the blog.
1.
I agree.
Yeah.
But it's been happening lately, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's some big bloggers that I feel like recently shut down their blogs in the name of just doing Instagram.
Hey, my motto is always, you know, whatever blows your hair back. But I love reading blogs, so I hope that doesn't happen.
Totally. Whatever works for you, but that wouldn't work for me, I don't think.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. Instagram stories.
5.
Awesome. Cups of coffee and Instagram photos.
5, I guess. I'm an iced coffee drinker. I can drink iced coffee year round, and it's cold in Chicago. I do not care. I drink iced coffee.
Yeah.
It doesn't photograph as well as like a beautiful latte with latte art. But I, you know, 5. Forget it. Who cares?
I've never actually done it. I don't drink coffee, and I'm not going to make a cup of coffee just to do an Instagram photo.
Yeah.
And I'm generally not frequenting the coffee houses. I would love to, but I've got little kids.
Right.
You know, it's just not my life.
Agreed. I hear that. But no, I'll go 5.
Yeah. All right. Instagram challenges.
1.
Me too. I am doing one right now, though. It's the only one I do all year.
Nonfiction November?
Yes.
Now, I started on Instagram doing challenges. Now I feel kind of bad, but I think I've moved on from it. It's freeing. It's kind of fun to just do whatever you want to post. So I'll go 1.
And for the listeners out there, if you're not familiar with what an Instagram challenge is, somebody on Instagram will sponsor this thing for a certain period of time and they'll give you various prompts. So like day 1, they'll give you a certain theme for your post and then you use a hashtag so that everybody can see everybody's post. And it is, I do think it's a nice way to, if you really are looking for content and are having trouble coming up with ideas.
Mm-hmm. In the beginning, that's all I did for a year. Like, I think the first year. Now, I wasn't super faithful to it. But yeah, every year or every day, I think I followed that. And finally, I just started taking pictures of whatever. And it was nice, but it was a good way to start.
Yeah. And I feel like the same thing sort of goes for blogs, like with link ups, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like I did a lot of those. There are 2 that I still do semi-regularly, but I've definitely phased out of a lot of that.
Yeah. See, now I like those too.
I love the Monday, what are you reading, link up. And occasionally we'll do Top 10 Tuesday.
Gotcha.
But not every week. All right. Well, that's it for today. And we are so excited. I keep saying we. Every time I talk about this podcast, I say we. Well, there's no we here. It's just me.
It's just you.
No, I don't have an assistant. I don't have any. No, it's just me. Well, I'm so excited that we finally got to talk, not in person. What do you call it?
Voice to voice. Exactly. Yeah, no, it was great talking books. It was so fun. And I could keep going for even more.
Before we go, tell everybody where they can find you online.
Oh, Oh, sure. So I have a blog. It's tbretc.com, as well as on Instagram, tbretc.
Thanks so much for listening to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. You can find show notes with all the books mentioned in the episode and purchase links at www.sarahsbookshelves.com/podcast. And that's Sarah with an H. I'd love to hear your comments, feedback, and suggestions, especially since we're just starting out. Find me online on my blog, sarahsbookshelves.com, on Twitter at Sarah's Shelves, on Instagram at Sarah's Bookshelves, and via email at sarahsbookshelves@gmail.com. Happy reading!